Yeah, I'll just reiterate, if you haven't registered for the mystery dinner, whichever one is ideal for you, do it. They are fantastic. Like, I've been at this church for some time, but there's definitely people I know better than others, and it is great to go along and you just sit down over a meal and just learn about people and have a natter, get to know them, and you come in the next Sunday and you see the person who you didn't know really from a bar of soap before, and now you've got that connection. It is brilliant. So do see Viv and register. And if you're a bit, you know, preparing food isn't a forte of mine, but if that's, you know, scaring you off, don't worry about it. You know, all manners of style of food appears and you just consume it and you don't think twice. So yeah, see Viv. They are brilliant. No matter if you're just new or whether you've been here for centuries. So come along. There's always somebody you can get to know better. I've been pondering, excuse me, I'm just health and safety. Been pondering. It's good to ponder, isn't it? Just to think about things. And what I've been pondering lately, if I was able to transport myself to heaven, just to catch a glimpse of heaven and then sort of move on to where, you know, those of us in God's family will spend eternity. If I was to sort of transport myself to there and just have a wee look, just to see all that I have there, and then sort of take a glimpse of, man, I can see how God was working in my life, sort of moving me through things and some of those sort of tough times. Well, that was the reason. You know, if I could transport myself in time so I had a better understanding, I wonder how much more, this is what I've been pondering, how much more I would really appreciate and value being in God's family. You know, I value it and I appreciate it, but I wonder the level I am now, how that would increase and to what kind of level if I could just catch a wee glimpse of that. I just wonder what that would be like, and wonder how different I would then live my life on earth here. You know, if I could just catch a glimpse. Now, where we're up to in Matthew, we've been working through Matthew on Sunday mornings, and we're up to verse 44, the section that starts with verse 44. I think in these verses, it's a parable. Jesus was wanting his followers to do just that. He wanted them to kind of see the value of being in God's family or being part of his kingdom program. He wanted them to really grasp hold of what they had, or what at that time he was offering them, whether they were Jew or Gentile, that they had the most valuable possession that they could possibly have that the world has to offer, and that's being in his family. They were privileged. So maybe it's good for us too to have a look at this. Actually, it's just going to be this one verse. Just have a look at this one verse this morning, just to see the valuable thing that we have. Because I know in my own life, maybe I forget just the value of it, and I take it for granted. Perhaps a little bit too much. So Matthew 13 verse 44, let's just read part of the verse. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovers hidden in a field. That's from the NLT version. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovers hidden in a field. So there's this man, and he's, we're not quite sure why he's in this field, whether he's passing through or whether he's working on there. But we find that he stumbles upon this treasure. And it wasn't too uncommon in those days for people to bury their life savings or whatever treasures they had. The economic climate was a bit up and down, and there was a bit of, you know, civil unrest here and there, and so it was actually not a bad way of just keeping your treasure or the stuff you'd save. But it was, because obviously when you buried this treasure, you didn't want to it to be found, so you buried it quite well. So it was very uncommon, as you could imagine, for somebody to stumble upon this buried treasure. So if somebody did, it was kind of special. Well, more than kind of special. It was quite amazing. And just as a bit of an aside, if you did find it, then it is yours. You could claim it. The law stated you could claim it and shoot through. So just as an aside, this guy was actually going beyond the call of duty, as we find, because he was going to buy the field. But that's just on the side. So anyway, he stumbles upon this treasure and he can't believe it. You know, the NLT talks about how excited he was. He had found this treasure. The message talks about him being ecstatic. So that's kind of, is that more than, that's perhaps more than excited. He was ecstatic. And you might have, if you've got the NIV, talks about joy. So this guy couldn't believe what had happened. He had found this most amazing treasure. One guy I was reading said that if the bloke who found the treasure had lived 10,000 lifetimes, it would possibly only happen to him once. So it was something real special that he had found this treasure. Maybe, I don't know what the equivalent is today, maybe somebody who's won the 30 million lotto or something and discarded his ticket, not thinking that it's winning, somebody else finds it, or somebody finds some gold bars or something. I'm not sure what it'd be equivalent today. But here, it was pretty amazing for him to do it. And this was beyond his dreams. You know, his life would be changed forever because he had stumbled upon this great treasure. And Jesus was saying, Jesus was wanting to get across to them, do you realize that I'm offering, you know, offering both the Jews and the Gentiles, the non-Jews, that I'm offering you, some of you have taken it up, the greatest treasure that anyone can possibly have, and that's being part of my family, being part of my kingdom program, part of what I am doing here on earth and beyond. So it's like finding the most valuable treasure you could possibly have. I used to own this. I know you're thinking inside, no, that isn't possible. That is a... It was at the time I owned it too. That is a Fiat 131 Racing. I know, you are going far out. Yeah, I owned it. I did. But then, my uncle, he had a... Just apologise for those that don't like talking about cars. But anyway, there's someone... My uncle, he had a Sigma GSR Turbo that he treated like his fourth child. And he was going to sell it. And if anyone knows about those, they were the first Japanese cars the traffic officers had as mufti cars. They were turboed and like sheep and wolf's clothing. I couldn't find a picture that did them justice. But anyway, he was selling it and I thought, man, this was getting a bit on and was starting to cost a bit of money. I'd really like that. I'd really like that car. But the problem was, I'd have to sell this. I'd have to give this up. because I'd need them, you know, in order to buy the other one. But I did. So with a certain sadness, I dispensed with my Fiat and I bought the Sigma. I really grateful to have the Sigma, but there was a certain, you know, in having to give up. But for this guy who was in the field, it was quite the reverse. We read that in his excitement. Let's read what he said. We'll read the second part of the verse. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovers hidden in the field. And then we'll see he's quite different. It says, in his excitement, he hid it again. In other words, he didn't want to lose what he had found. He hid it again and sold everything he owned in order to buy the field. So you could imagine him, and what this conveys is, he excitedly went out and, oh, he's got a guitar, I'll sell that and I'll trade it in, no worries. There was that excitement about getting rid of those things so he could retain this special treasury. He just didn't think twice about it. Such was the value of this newfound treasure. The other things fell into, you know, insignificance. And again, Jesus was wanting those who were observing and those who were his followers just to try and grasp that tremendous privilege, that incredible value of being in God's family, of being part of that program that God was unfolding. And he just wanted them to kind of think and ponder. And he wants us to see that too. So I said, you know, I can take that for granted. You know, I've been a Christian since I was around 9 or 10 years old. You know, and you can go on in life. But man, I have got the most incredible possession that anyone could possibly have. That of being part of God's family. And Jesus was saying this, you know, and he's the all-knowing one. And then he told us that. But there's something else in this parable that we can learn too, and something else that you might have seen. And it's not just the incredible value and the incredible privilege of being in God's family, but it's this, that the kingdom of God is so valuable that if it's cost something, then it's worth it. Now, that guy knew the incredible value of the treasure that he had found, and if it cost him something, then that was okay. And that's sort of one of the points Jesus, I think, was wanting to get across. That when you have that valuable gift of being in God's family, it is going to cost you something. And he didn't want that to be a surprise. And I think that's one of the main points of this too. That when you do have that valuable gift of being in his family, it'll cost you something, but what you have will far exceed that of being in his family. And I think of Paul when I think of this point. The Apostle Paul, you know, he was a legend in Jewish circles. You know, everybody knew him. He was highly regarded. He was born in a prestigious family. You know, if there was a "This Is Your Life" program, well, if there was TV in those days, and if there was a "This Is Your Life" program in Israel, Paul would have probably been one of the you know, first season picks. He was born into a prestigious tribe. He was educated in the right place. He climbed the ranks, you know, in Jewish circles at a young age. He was powerful. He would have been not short of a few bob as well, and really looked up to. But when he came into God's family, he lost all that. It cost them that power, cost them that prestige, that wealth, that comfort. In fact, when he was writing about this, he was writing from a prison cell. But he had no problem, you know, in giving that up. He had no, that was just the cost of that greater treasure which he now had, that of being part of God's family. Philippians 3 verse 7, this was Paul talking as he was contemplating, you know, what he had and kind of what he had lost. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. You know, he had a good handle on how valuable it was being in God's family, and was more than happy to trade in that power, that prestige, the comfort, for what he had now. He was more than happy to do that. And I was thinking along these lines, and then if you were here last week, remember Philip came and highlighted some of the students that we're sponsoring in Myanmar at the Bible College. And there was one girl I was reading about when I got home from church, Nan, or maybe it's Nan I, excuse the pronunciation. But she became a Christian while she was living in a Buddhist seminary. I mean, and this is somebody alive right now who we're supporting. She, one of the new ones we're supporting. She became a Christian while living in a Buddhist monastery, and she said, "I was insulted and teased by my Buddhist friends when I accepted Jesus as my saviour." You know, for her, it cost her some of her friends, and it cost her, you know, ridicule. Some of you might be able to identify with her. But, you know, that was, well, it was hard, but kind of that was okay because she had an even greater treasure. Like Jesus was trying to just instill in them. You have something far, far, far more. If it cost you some friends and some ridicule, then, you know, from hard as it is, you know, if we really knew what we had, that's kind of okay. I can live with that. I was too thinking about some friends, my parents' age, who are missionaries, who I've mentioned them a few times, the Trues in El Salvador. They were missionaries during the Civil War over there. And that time, serving God there, cost them their health. You know, to this day, they still struggle with health issues. So it, being part of God's family, doing what he wanted them to do, cost them kind of their health. But again, they're, hard as it is, they're accepting of it. That's what it takes. They have an even greater. I don't know, you might be in business and putting out tenders for contracts, and you're realistic in what you can deliver and for the price. Competitors may not be. You know, they might promise the world but are unable to deliver it and win the contract. But hey, the business, you know, you lose that contract. But living for God, you know, it does cost. You know, accountants, some accountants are asked to do unethical things for their clients, and they won't do it because they're in God's family, and it costs them clients. Well, they have a much greater price. I know you could come up with probably many examples, maybe you're in your own life, that we have a far, far greater thing, being in God's family and part of his program. And many of those who were listening to Jesus on that day, they really took it on board and grasp hold of the value and really live for God. And of those real close to them who have their lives have been followed down through history, we read about eight of them, and maybe they would have said, "Andrew, I think what you've got up there is a bit weak. maybe it should be the kingdom of God is so valuable that if it costs you everything, then it's worth it. I wonder whether those eight guys, those disciples really close to them, their lives were taken because of their beliefs. They were martyred. They died living for God. And I think, you know, at those final stages where they were, I guess, given many of them given the option of denouncing who they followed, they stuck with it. Said no. And it cost them their life because they knew what they had was so valuable. So we indeed do have the most valuable treasure for those of you in God's family, for those of you that have realised that the stuff you've done in your life has cut you off from God. You've got no hope of a relationship with God, no hope of heaven being your home, but you've realised that Jesus, God's Son, came down to earth, suffered and was put on a cross and was being punished on your behalf, then came alive again, went back into heaven, and now there's an offer of a free gift of forgiveness for those who want to reach out and say thank you. You know, that's becoming part of God's family if you really believe he's done that. If you've done that, then you do indeed have the most valuable gift or the most valuable treasure that anyone can have in this life. And I guess don't be surprised if it does cost you something. Don't be surprised if it costs you something. It might cost you something this afternoon. It might cost you something tomorrow. But even better, how cool will it be if that's okay with you? Now, I think that's the key. The more we feel, oh, well, that's okay because we've got a much greater thing, then I think that's growing as a Christian, being accepting of some of those things, hard as they are. So let's maybe over the next couple of weeks really, really grasp hold of the fact of what we have, and that will help us to live for God even more and be accepting of some of those things that come our way in life. And many of those things are because we are followers of God. Let's again pray. Father God, we really do thank you for your word, the Bible. Father, in just one verse, we have so much just to help us to live for you. And Father, just get a handle on what life's all about. And Father God, we thank you once again for your Son, for you allowing him to come down and live on this earth and then die for each one of us. We thank you for that. And we thank you for what our future holds, Father, and we acknowledge that we don't know much in reality, but we do acknowledge that you've prepared a place for us, and we do look forward to that. So, Father, again, if there's someone here that isn't part of your family but would like to be, that they'll be bold enough to come up and have a chat with somebody after the service. So again, thank you for what we have. Amen.